This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Committee on Taxation to order. The secretary will call the roll.
Representative Cutler. Bikert.
Here.
Gibson.
Here.
Greenfield.
Yep.
Hunhoff. Junkie.
Here.
Kirkaby.
Here.
Kirschman.
Here.
Lang.
Here.
Lederman. Russell.
Here.
Solem.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
Noem.
Here.
Olson.
Here.
Mr. Chair, 13 of 15 are present.
We have a quorum present. We have a couple members that will be gone for the day, so they will be excused. Wow, we have a short crowd today, don't we? I'd like to welcome everyone that's here and everyone who's listening on the internet today. We have had a couple pages, I suppose they took off. We'll have them introduce themselves a little bit later on the committee. If you have your cell phone on you, please turn that on vibrate if you haven't already. If you do plan on testifying, please sign in the back on the pedestal in the middle of the room. As you know, today is crossover day, and I see several of you have worn black to honor the bills that have gone before you, so we're happy to move along, and we're going to have to start getting used to saying Senate bills. So with that, the chair will entertain a motion to approve the minutes. Moved by Junkie, second by Gibson. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Minutes are approved. All right, we'll get right to work, I guess. I don't anticipate this taking a whole lot of time, but well, let's not try and use all of our time if we can help it. With that, we'll open the public hearing to Senate Bill 13. Any proponents to Senate Bill 13? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. David Weiss from the Department of Revenue and Regulation. Senate Bill... Mr. Chairman, the record should reflect that it was not me. Again, Mr. Chairman, David Weiss from the Department of Revenue and Regulation, here to discuss Senate Bill 13. Senate Bill 13 has to do with tax deeds. As you know, if you don't pay your property taxes in a timely fashion, the taxes are sold by the county treasurer on the third Monday in December each and every year, and a tax sale certificate is issued. After a certain period of time, if you continue not to pay your taxes, the holder of a tax sale certificate can go ahead and get a tax deed for the property. There are two chapters of the code that permits you to get a tax deed. One is Chapter 10-25 of the code, and one is Chapter 10-26 of the code. Talk about how you go ahead and get a tax deed. What Senate Bill 13 does is corrects a mistake that we made during the 2007 summer review and a bill that was enacted in the 2008 legislature. What happened is in 2007 the legislature did a comprehensive review of the Department of Revenue, and one of the things that they did is a long bill to look at many of the sections of the code that apply to the Department of Revenue and to update them with more up-to-date language and so on and so forth. And one of the things that occurred is that they updated SDCL 10-25-12 of the bill by changing the first sentence. And unfortunately, I did not catch it, but when they changed the first sentence, we made a mistake because we took out the reference to Chapter 10-25 of the code. So what we have here in Senate Bill 13 is a cleanup bill to make it clear to folks who take a tax deed under Chapter 10-25 of our code that their tax deed is a grants them fee simple title. Now, that is talking about the type of deed they get. It is not talking about the quality of deed that they get. And there is a difference, and here's what that is. When you get a tax deed, many lawyers in South Dakota would tell you that you still have to do a quiet title action to quiet the title, to remove any potential defects on the title. And that will give you a higher quality of a deed when you do a quiet title action. This simply tells you that when you get a tax deed under Chapter 1025 of the code, it is a fee simple deed. In the past 15 years, I've advocated to county treasurers to use Chapter 10-25 of the code, so I think it is used more than Chapter 10-26. So with that, Mr. Chairman, we believe Senate Bill 13 is just cleaning up that first sentence to make sure that everyone knows when you take a tax deed under Chapter 1025 of the code, it is also a fee simple tax deed. That is the type of deed that you get. And with that, I urge passage of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponents to Senate Bill 13? Any further proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 13? Seeing none, we have no need for rebuttal, so any questions of the committee? Seeing no questions, we will open it up to discussion and or action.
Chair.
Representative Noem.
Mr. Chair, I would move do pass.
Second.
Motion by Noem, second by Gibson, do pass. Any comments on that motion?
No.
Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Cutler. Bikert.
Aye.
Gibson.
Aye.
Greenfield. Aye. Hunhoff.
Aye.
Junkie.
Aye.
Kirkaby.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Lang.
Aye.
Lederman. Russell. Solem.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Noem.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, 13 ayes, 2 excused.
Senate Bill 13, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Greenfield.
Move consent.
Motion by Greenfield, second by Noem. Move consent. Any comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed nay. It is placed on consent. Representative Gibson, would you be willing to answer any questions that we would have on the floor, or if by chance it happens to get pulled off? Thank you. Moving right along, Senate Bill 16, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the taxation of biodiesel and biodiesel blends. Are there any proponents to Senate Bill 16? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Deborah Hilmer, Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles, and welcome the opportunity to be here this morning. Senate Bill 16 really does two things. It's to address biodiesel producers and the licensing of the biodiesel producers so that we can track the amount of gallons that are being produced in the biodiesel industry. And the reason that we need to do that is if some of you that were here last year, there was a bill passed in 2008 that would, in effect, give a 2 cent a gallon credit on biodiesel blends. But the credit only takes effect when biodiesel production facilities reach a nameplate capacity of at least 20 million gallons per year, and they produce at least 10 million gallons. This is not a payment to the producer, but rather a 2 cent a break, 2 cent a gallon tax break to the user. And in order to make that determination when we meet that level, we need to have some type of reporting mechanism. So basically what you see in the bill is a reporting requirement, a licensing requirement, and a reporting requirement of our biodiesel producers. The second part of the bill is a refund of methanol when it's used in the actual production process of making biodiesel. Methanol is used as a catalyst. It doesn't become part of the biodiesel in effect, or a very, very small portion of it does, but it's really used as a catalyst in the production of that biodiesel. And in talking with the biodiesel industry, we felt that that was something that should be eligible for refund because it does not become part of the actual biodiesel product. It doesn't become, you know, you don't take 10 gallons and blend it with methanol and have 100 gallons, or 90 gallons and blend 10 gallons of methanol and have 100 gallons. It's just basically used as a catalyst in the production of that fuel. This is very similar to a refund that we issued or that this body passed in 2006, which is methanol that's used in the production of windshield washer fluid. We felt it was very similar and worked with the industry come in with the bill this year to clarify that methanol used in that production process is eligible for a refund. And that's basically all the bill does. I'd be happy to answer any questions at the appropriate time.
Thank you. Further proponents to Senate Bill 16. Morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the House Tax Committee. Nancy Johnson with the South Dakota Soybean Association. And as Ms. Hilmer indicated, the Soybean Association, on behalf of the biodiesel industry, worked closely with the department and with you and your predecessors to put in place a biodiesel incentive program that has been prepaid into the highway fund. So that money has already been swept over. That incentive then goes to the consumer when we have the production of that product in South Dakota. We felt very good about the program that went in place. Unfortunately, we forgot to put the reporting requirements in, which essentially flips the switch to turn the incentive on, and then again flips the switch to turn the incentive off. Furthermore, the reporting allows the department to license entities, thus making sure that everyone is meeting those ASTM standards, which are so critical not only to the industry but also ultimately to the consumer. The department has worked closely with the industry. We're supportive of this legislation, would ask your favorable consideration. Stand by for questions.
Thank you. Further proponents to Senate Bill 16.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Donna Lightsky. I am the executive director and lobbyist for the South Dakota Petroleum and Propane Marketers Association, and we are the gas station owners that do sell the biodiesel, and we just want to show our support for this industry. We did all work together to get that incentive put in place, to get the money transferred to DOT, and if this is what needs to be done to make that work, then we are fully in support of it and ask for your support also. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponents to Senate Bill 16? Any opponents to Senate Bill 16? Kumbaya. Oh, sorry. With that, we will open it up to committee questions since we had no opponents. Are there any questions of the committee? Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question from Ms. Johnston. For informational purposes, there was no official reporting of biodiesel. There is none yet, but any idea what happened last year? I have a diesel Volkswagen, and I have biodiesel stickers on my window. I couldn't find biodiesel in the state at all last year. Was it out there? What's happening in terms of the production, in other words?
Mr. Chairman. Thank you for the question, Representative. I'm sure many of you recall biodiesel hitting $3.75, $3.84, or diesel hitting $3.84 last year. Cost prohibitive to produce biodiesel at that level. As diesel has been coming down and as soybeans have been coming down also, it is now an opportunity that we have out there, and we look forward to a number of entities having the production capability within the next year to 18 months.
And then any advancements in terms of the ability to use biodiesel the year-round?
Mr. Chairman, there are a number of technologies out there, and as we look at the potential producers in South Dakota, they're researching what different technologies are there that could allow us to have a product that would withstand some of the gelling issues that have historically created problems. There are some facilities in Iowa and Minnesota that have implemented some of these technologies, and they've had some great success. We hope to piggyback on their efforts.
Thank you. Any further questions of the committee? Seeing no further questions, we will close the public testimony and go to committee discussion and or action. Sure. Representative Noem.
Mr. Chair, I would move due pass on Senate Bill 16.
Motion by Noem, second by Gibson to do pass on Senate Bill 16. Any comments on that motion?
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to thank the department for being proactive on fixing this before we got into a situation where we had producers in the state and distributors who ran into the situation. So thank you for going back and correcting it. And it's to the benefit of agriculture and economic development.
Thank you. Any further comments on the do-pass motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye. All opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Cutler? Bikert?
Aye.
Gibson?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Hunthoff?
Aye.
Junkie?
Aye.
Kirkaby?
Aye.
Kirschman?
Aye.
Lang?
Aye.
Lederman? Russell?
Aye.
Solem?
Aye.
Thompson?
Aye.
Noem?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Mr. Chair, 13 ayes, 2 excused.
The motion do pass, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any takers? I know we probably won't want to do that. Next, we will move down the calendar to Senate Bill number 12, an act to limit the amount of tax refunds for construction projects that are located in areas that are included in a tax collection agreement between the state and an Indian tribe. Any proponents to Senate Bill number 12?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. David Weiss from the Department of Revenue and Regulation. Senate Bill 12 comes at the intersection of two different chapters of our code. One chapter is the chapter that talks about tax collection agreements that the state of South Dakota has with Indian tribes, and the other chapter is the chapter that talks about the tax refunds for large agricultural and construction projects that are set forth in Chapter 10-45 of the code. And I have to talk about both of those to give you the gist of where we're headed with this particular bill. Under a Chapter 10-45 with the construction refund chapter, if someone builds a large agricultural processing facility or a large manufacturing facility, that provision of the code states that the project owner may receive a refund of the contractor's excise tax and sales tax and so forth when that project is completed. And the state obviously collects taxes during the building of the project, and then then we have to go ahead and refund money back out the door. So for example, if someone would build a new agricultural plant in Pierre, for example, and it would cost, and I'm going to just use this as an example, $100 million, and we have a $5 million refund, the state would be fully obligated for the $5 million refund. The other part of the equation is the tax collection agreements with Indian tribes. Under federal Indian law, the state has the ability to tax certain transactions in Indian country, and the tribes have the ability to tax certain transactions in Indian country. How we do it is that we have, for 35 years or so, we've entered into tax collection agreements with Indian tribes to work together to collect those taxes. The state collects all of its taxes that it should be getting under the rules, and then the state acts as an agent for the Indian tribes and collects the tribal taxes for those folks. So what will happen, you see, is that we collect all the taxes. So everybody has to pay the sales tax, no matter whether you're a retailer that is an enrolled member of the tribe or you're a retailer that is not an enrolled member of the tribe. The state collects all of that money, and then all of that money comes into one pot, and what we do is we split it based upon economic activity of enrolled members versus everyone else. What will happen, for example, is that in many areas where we have tax collection agreements, and I'm going to, the split will be, since there are many more Indian folks out there than non-Indian folks, the split would be, say, 65% of the monies would go to the Indian tribe and 35% of the monies would be retained by the state. Well, now if we overlay the 10-45B refund system, and we take my example of a new agricultural project being constructed on Indian country, what would happen is this. The state would still be liable to refund, in my example, the full $5 million, but unfortunately, we would not get to keep the full $5 million to start with. In other words, while we may have gotten $5 million of tax in the door, so to speak, 65% of that was the tribe's money, so we sent that 65% of the $5 million to the tribes and $3 million. So while the state is obligated to refund $5 million, we only get to keep a little less than $2 million. What Senate Bill 12 does is to say this. When we have one of those projects in Indian country, the state is only obligated to refund the amount of the money that the state gets to keep under the tax collection agreement. By doing so, we don't run into a situation where we have to pay out more money than we get in. So this is a good idea no matter what the fiscal condition of the state is, and of course it's even a better idea now. The moral of the story is that if we're doing a refund as a state, we should only be doing a refund based upon how much money we get to keep, and that's the aim of Senate Bill 12, and with that, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I would urge the committee's positive support. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any further proponents to Senate Bill 12? Seeing no further proponents, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 12? Seeing no opponents, we will waive the rebuttal and open it up to committee questions. Representative Noem.
For Mr. Wiest, could you tell me how has this been handled up until now, and how often do you run into this situation?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Noem, I think we've ran into one case where we did have a refund, and what happened is that the state ended up paying 100% of the refund, even though in that particular case we did not get to keep 100% of the tax dollars in the door. So we've seen it once before that I'm aware of.
Thank you. Any further questions? Representative Solem.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. David, do the tribes have a similar obligation as far as refunds as the state does? I'm saying, do they have rules in place that offer a refund similar to what the state of South Dakota does?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Solem, how it works is that the tribes have to have an identical tax system to the state, so they have to have an identical sales tax system. Well, that is in Chapter 1045. The refund system is in Chapter 1045B, so there is no requirement that a tribe have an identical refund system. What I have always said when I've gone out and negotiated tax collection agreements with the Indian folks is I've said, the money that you get under a tax collection agreement is your money. You figure out how best you need to spend it as a tribe for the worthy projects and expenditures that you have. We do not tell the tribe what to do with their money. Whether a tribe has a refund system or not, I do not know.
Thank you. Further questions? Representative Noem.
Mr. Wiest, does this basically apply to the contractor's excise tax? What other taxes might this situation arise in?
Mr. Chairman, the refund under Chapter 10-45B applies to the contractor's excise tax, the sales tax, and the use tax.
Thank you. Further questions? Seeing no further questions, we will close the question part and open it up to committee discussion and or action. Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move to pass.
Second. Motion by Greenfield, second by Noem. Do pass on Senate Bill 12. Comments on that motion? Seeing no comments. All those in favor say aye. All opposed nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Cutler. Bikert.
Aye.
Gibson.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Junkie.
Aye.
Kirkaby.
Aye.
Kirschman. Lang.
Aye.
Lederman. Russell.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Noem.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, 13 ayes, 2 excused.
Motion do pass on Senate Bill 12, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move consent.
Motion consent by Representative Greenfield, second by Representative Fikert. Any comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. It is on consent. Representative Solem, would you be interested in taking care of this bill if need be?
I'd be honored.
Great, thank you. All right. Moving on to Senate Bill 14, an act to revise certain provisions regarding references to the Internal Revenue Code and to repeal an obsolete reference to the Internal Revenue Code. Are there any proponents to Senate Bill 14? Morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Michael Kenyon, South Dakota Department of Revenue and Regulation. You have saved the hardest bill for last. This is simply the department's annual update to the references to the Internal Revenue Code and our statutes. I'd be happy to stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents to Senate Bill 14? Seeing no proponents, are there any opponents? Seeing no opponents, we open up to questions. Representative Noem, question.
Sorry, Mr. Kenyon, but I'd like you to explain a little bit further because I see that we're amending it to overstrike 1986 for 2009, bigger jumps than just 1 year. So if you'd explain that for the committee.
Mr. Chairman, I was hoping nobody would ask that question. The truth of the matter is that we forgot some of those provisions. They've been sitting around not being updated for a number of years, and we, with the wonders of modern technology, we have used word processing things where we can search through the code and find all those. We found all of them, and we think we've got them all now.
Follow up?
Are you sure?
Mr. Chairman, the computer programs never lie. I think we're sure.
Representative Thompson, question.
Thank you. Mr. Kenyon, should I support this bill because it will pass?
Mr. Chairman, I hope you support the bill. Thank you.
Okay, any further questions? Seeing no further questions, we'll move to discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Noem.
Mr. Chair, I'd move do pass.
Second.
Motion by Noem, second by Junkie, do pass on Senate Bill 14. Any comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye, all opposed nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Cutler. Fikert.
Aye.
Gibson.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hunthoff,
aye.
Junkie,
aye.
Kirkaby,
aye.
Kirschman,
aye.
Lang,
aye.
Lederman, Russell,
aye.
Solem,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Noem,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Mr. Chair, 13 ayes, 2 excused.
The motion do pass on Senate Bill 14, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move consent.
Second.
Motion by Representative Greenfield, second by Junkie, to place Senate Bill 14 on consent. Comments? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed nay. Senate Bill 14 is placed on consent. Well, that wraps up our calendar for today. Sledding won't be probably quite as easy next time, but we will obviously have a meeting. We still have some bills to take care of, so... unless there's anything else, the chair would entertain a motion to adjourn. Hang on that motion. Let's have the pages introduce themselves while we have a chance, since they were gone when we first started. So if you come up, introduce yourself. Thank you.
I'm Candace Shippey from Cologne.
And I'm Owen Shea from Pierre.
Great, thank you. Welcome. Appreciate your work this morning. Okay, now we had a motion by Representative Junkie and second by Representative Greenfield on motion to adjourn. Comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. We are adjourned. Thank you.